This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
It's a thought by Keith Miller and Bruce Larson in their book, Edge of Adventure. Listen to what they say about the neighborhood bar. The neighborhood bar or pub is possibly the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. It's an imitation dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality, but it is a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. The neighborhood bar is unshockable. I love that phrase. The neighborhood bar is unshockable. You can tell people secrets and they usually don't tell others or even want to. The bar flourishes not because people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and to be known, to love and to be loved, and so many people seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. With all our hearts, they say, we believe that Christ wants his church to be unshockable. A fellowship where people can come in and say, I'm sunk, I'm beat, I've had it, I'm done with life. I don't know if I'm going to make it another day. Alcoholics Anonymous has this quality. Our churches too often miss it. I'm going to talk about being a part of a church fellowship in a way I've never talked about before. And how that there's something dynamic that happens, get this, just by you sitting there today with other people around you has a way of ministering to you, and your presence has a way of ministering to other people. Get this, just because you're here. It's in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, as we're simply preaching through this book in the New Testament, chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. We don't use terminology like that in everyday conversation, drawing near to God. But may I tell you a word that we use in language all the time? It's the word approach. When you want to draw near to someone, what does it mean? You approach somebody. When you want to talk to somebody you've never met before, the first thing you do, I think, is you approach them. And people need to be approachable. Honest to goodness truth, the first time I met Annie was in a college classroom, a large classroom, about 200 people, one of those sloping classrooms where the stage is at the bottom and there's 200 seats that go up in an amphitheater kind of thing. There was one seat available. I came in late, and Annie was a junior. I was a lowly freshman. I was nothing in her mind. You know how juniors and seniors are about freshmen in college. And so I just went up to her, and the seat was open. I said, do you mind if I sit here? She said, it's a free country. I was approaching her, but she was saying, I'm not approachable. That's what it said to me. The second day, it was a four classes a week in this particular class. The next day I went, the seat was open next to her. I said, are you saving this for anyone? She said, I don't save seats, I just go to college. I was approaching her. She really did. I'm not making that up. And she was unapproachable. The third day I went back, and I had noticed the first 2 days that she left about 15 minutes early each day. She just got up and left. And I said, do you mind telling me why you left early yesterday and the day before? She said, I have to work in downtown Cincinnati, and I have permission from the professor to leave early to go to the bottom of the hill on the campus to catch the city bus down to downtown Cincinnati. And I said, I've got a car. I can take you. And she said, the bus is fine. Thank you. I approached her, but pray for me. It's been rough for all these years. It's been tough. I was approaching her, but she was not approachable. We draw near to God means you approach him. How do you do it? Let me tell you, you approached him a few minutes ago when you took a cup of grape juice and you took a piece of bread. And Rick quoted that scripture from 1 Corinthians, how we took it together. That's approaching God. Well, yesterday we continued our series in the book of Hebrews by looking at the 10th chapter, verse 22, that talks about drawing near to God. That's a very religious sounding phrase, isn't it? Drawing near to God. But it simply means to approach him. We talked about how it's important when you approach people for yourself to be approachable. We talk about how we approach the Lord today and all this week as we continue this series entitled, Jesus Is. To draw near to God means you approach him. How do you do it? Let me tell you, you approached him a few minutes ago when you took a cup of grape juice and you took a piece of bread. It's drawing near to him. When you were worshiping the Lord in worship, you were approaching God. When you pray, you're approaching God. When you meet together with other people and you're sharing in his name and in his power, that's approaching the Lord. And I hope that you realize you're drawing near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. I know that some of you have never heard this before, but when the blood of Christ cleanses your life from sin, it cleanses your conscience. And I'm going to tell you how it does it in a way that you've never heard before, because I've never heard it expressed in the way that I'm going to express it to you by sharing from John Piper, who's a minister in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He says, "The blood of Christ so completely covers our sin and removes our guilt that the conscience can rest at peace, not because we're sinless and not because the conscience doesn't sometimes accuse us, but when it does, by faith we can speak to our conscience and say, 'Conscience, I know I've sinned. It grieves me. I hate my sin, but I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for me to bear my sins and cover my transgressions.' And I've never heard anyone say this. Therefore, I can speak to my conscience and say this: 'Conscience, be quiet. Conscience, be quiet. My sin is under the blood of Christ. I believe that with all my heart.' The Bible says the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, not just generic sins, not the run-of-the-mill sins, but all sin. Not 93% of your sin, but all of your sin. And so we have a cleansed conscience because of the blood of Christ. And that's what I think the Hebrew writer is talking about. Let's go on to the next verse. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." I'm always interested in word meanings. I wanted to know, what is that, the original word there for unswervingly? Here's what I found out it means. It means to hold, it's a navigational term, to hold your course. One commentator said it would be like a ship today on the ocean, and the captain gives the order for a course heading, and the person who's piloting the boat directs the boat, and he holds that heading. Why? Because he's told to hold that heading. And then that author said it's like a pilot who takes off from Dayton Airport and who takes off from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and he's told to bear right and to maintain a heading of so many degrees and just stay on that heading until you're told otherwise. And what are we told to do? Maintain our heading spiritually. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, meaning this: don't let anybody or anything pull you to the right or left. Do you realize how much there is spiritually to distract you in life? The entertainment world wants to distract you and pull you off your course. There are books that you read and I read, and it pulls us off course to the left or right. The television pulls us off course. Music can pull us off course. What we listen to impacts us spiritually. I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that you're holding unswervingly to the hope that you profess? I'm talking to me too. Well, to me, that's a very sobering thought. It will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that you're holding unswervingly to the hope that you profess? I'm talking to me too. Are you holding the course and saying, "My hope is in Jesus Christ"? And I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, "Hold on to your religion." It doesn't even say, "Hold on to your belief system." It doesn't say, "Hold on to your political beliefs." It says, "Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Everything about Christianity is connected to the H word, hope. There are people here today who come here just to get hope to keep on going to work on Monday morning. And people need hope in medical situations that come here every Sunday. And there are people who need hope financially, and they need hope with their children. And there's people that feel hopeless about their marriage, and there's people who feel hopeless about the economy. And they come here for the express purpose of getting some hope. And the Hebrew writer says, hold on unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised, Jesus Christ, is faithful. Let's go on to the next verse. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This is the most interesting verse to me in the book of Hebrews because it's something you never hear anyone talk about. You know, most of us think the Bible is admonishing us to do good deeds and us to be more loving. And this verse comes along and says, do you ever spur anybody else on? If you're married, do you encourage your spouse to be more loving toward other people and more loving toward the Lord? Do you ever encourage your spouse to be interested in doing what's right? And that speaks to every husband and every wife in this room. Do we spur our children on? Do we encourage them? And the word spur literally means provoke. We all know what the word provoke means in a negative context. People know what it means to provoke somebody. Well, he made me so mad, he just provoked me to do it, and I lost my temper, and we know the drill with that. But we're to provoke people to what? Toward love and good deeds. Provoke people toward love and good deeds. Here's my question. Is there any person that you can point to on the face of the planet and say, I'm provoking them? I'm spurring them on toward love and good deeds. Now, I want to focus on the next verse because this is the key part. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to say some things about church attendance that I've never said before, but meeting together is necessary, not just so we can fill this place and have a lot of people here. You need the presence of other people who believe in the same thing and the same one. You may not get it, I may not get it, but other people are encouraged, get this, just by your physical presence in the same room, singing the same songs, taking the same communion, hearing the same message, there's a mutual encouragement that takes place. You're a blessing to other people as people bless you, and most people don't get that, even Christian people. And that meeting together can happen in small groups. There's something to be said about what happens in a small group for this reason. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said what? I'm there. Did you know if you have coffee or lunch or dinner with another Christian, that's a spiritual gathering? You may have never thought about that before. Why? Because you're doing it in his name, which means in his authority, in his power. You have a cup of coffee with somebody at work and they're a fellow believer. Spiritual meeting taking place, and there's powerful mutual encouragement that takes place.
Well, I'd like to think that every time you listen to this program, a spiritual meeting is taking place as you're encouraged by the message of Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. God bless you.
Charles Plum was a U.S. Navy jet pilot in Vietnam. After 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. Plum ejected and parachuted into enemy hands. He was captured and spent 6 years in a prison. He survived the ordeal and now lectures on lessons learned from that experience. One day when Charlie Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, a man at another table came up and said, "You're Plum, aren't you? You flew jet fighters in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk, and you were shot down. How in the world did you know that?" asked Plum. "I'm the guy who packed your parachute. I'm the guy who packed your parachute." Plum gasped in surprise and gratitude. The man shook his hand and said, "I guess it worked." Plum assured him, "It sure did. If your chute hadn't worked, I wouldn't be here today." That night, Plum said he couldn't sleep, thinking about that man. He said, "I kept wondering what he looked like in the Navy uniform, a white hat, a bib in the back, and bell-bottom trousers. I wonder how many times I might have seen him on the ship and not even said, 'Good morning, how are you,' or anything. You see, I was a fighter pilot, he was just a sailor. I was a fighter pilot, and he was just a sailor." Plum thought about the many hours the sailor had spent at long wooden tables deep in the ship, carefully weaving the shrouds and folding the silks of each chute, holding in his hands each time the fate of someone he didn't even know. Now Plum asks his audience when he speaks, "Who's packing your parachute?" Everyone has someone who provides what they need to make it through the day. He also points out that what he needed were many kinds of parachutes. When his plane was shot down, he needed a physical parachute, a mental parachute, an emotional parachute, and most of all, a spiritual parachute. He called on all these supports before reaching safety. Sometimes in the daily challenges that life gives us, we miss what is really important. We may fail to say hello, please, thank you, or congratulate someone on something that's happened to them. Give a compliment or do something nice for no reason. As you go through this week, recognize people who pack your parachutes. I want to suggest to you that something very important happens at a place called Crossview Christian Church 10 or 15 minutes before the service and afterwards. I know I joke about it, but some people do race to the parking lot as if it was the Indianapolis 500 and they're running to their cars to be the first one out of here. And I realize there are times you have to go to work or you have to be at the airport or whatever. But do you realize that you saying a word to somebody could make a difference in their week? I'll always remember, as long as I live, an elderly woman who told me this: the only time she interacts socially with anybody is at church. Think about that. The only time I socially interact with anybody is at church. Do you think church matters to her? You better believe it does. Do you think it's important to her week to know that that's the only time that she converses with another human being is when she's at a place like Crossview? It should make a difference to all of us. And what I'm saying is this: people are blessed because you're sitting in a chair during worship service. They're blessed because you're standing with them singing. They're blessed because your voice is raised with theirs. They're blessed because you're taking a piece of bread and a cup of grape juice along with them. And they're blessed by your presence, blessed by your participation in what's going on at Crossview Christian Church. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I've said this before, but the day of Christ's return is just as close as the day of your death.
Well, that's a thought-provoking question. I want to pick up on that exactly where we leave off today, tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
I've said this before, but the day of Christ's return is just as close as the day of your death. You know, people like to argue about when Jesus is going to return. Doesn't matter. If the day comes when you and I take our last breath and the next conscious moment is the presence of the Lord, which that's what the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It really doesn't matter if Jesus returns next Tuesday or 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now. It's all the same in terms of eternity. And all the more as we see the day approaching, we're to encourage one another. Hebrews earlier in the book says, encourage one another daily. The missing word in most marriages, in most families, in most companies, in most businesses, in most offices is the E word, the encouragement word. I don't care what you do with your life in terms of your job. I don't care what your profession is. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how educated or non-educated you are. Every person who calls himself or herself a Christian should be known as an encourager. Why? We're under orders. It has nothing to do with personality. It has to do with obedience to the Word of God. Your personality bent may not be encouragement, but God says, I've called you to it. I'll empower you to be an encourager. The one who encourages you is the one who can empower you to be an encouragement. Max Lucado is one of the great Christian writers of the day, and he talks about what it's going to be like when we see people in heaven and see the Lord. I just want you to listen to one paragraph. You'll be home soon. You may not have noticed it, but you are closer to home than ever before. Each moment is a step taken. Each breath is a page turned. Each day is a mile mark, a mountain climb. You're closer to home than you've ever been. Before you know it, your appointed arrival time will come. You'll descend the ramp and enter the city. What an interesting phrase. You'll descend the ramp and enter the city. You'll see faces that are waiting for you. You'll hear your name spoken by those who love you. And maybe, just maybe, in the back, behind the crowd, the one who would rather die than live without you will remove his hands, his pierced hands, from his heavenly robe and applaud, and applaud. What a thought about the applause from heaven, from the Lord himself. What will people remember about you in terms of your impact on this earth? I can guarantee you people will not remember your intelligence level. They will not remember the successes in your life. They won't remember how much money you made, but they will remember that you were a person of encouragement. and that you help one other person to find their strength in the Lord, because that's really what encouragement is. It's to help another man or woman, young person, to find their strength in the Lord. It's not about encouraging them to find their strength in you or me. It's to find it in the Lord. That's the definition of encouragement. Let's summarize this message very quickly. We're to draw near to God. Draw near to God means to approach Him. Have you approached the Lord lately? I think you're showing that you are by being here today. We're to hold unswervingly, hold the course of the hope that we profess. We're to encourage one another. We're not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And I'll leave you with this thought. I shared this, I think, in the early service. The word for don't neglect meeting together is a strong word. It's a word that would be used to describe a group of people walking through the desert, and they're looking for water, they're looking to survive, and somebody in the group drops to the ground and collapses. And you know what that word neglect means? It means the rest of the people just keep on going. See ya. Sorry you're going to die, but that's what we're going to do. We're abandoning you. It really means to abandon. Don't abandon the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another with what? Your presence. Encourage one another with your worship, in your participation in what we call church.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.